Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there. Welcome back to Scaling Wellness. I am really excited to be here today, actually, because today is a slightly different episode for me because I want to share a little bit of behind the scenes. I have recently got back, in fact, yesterday, got back from a retreat, which was with my mastermind group. So this isn't a group that I run. This is a group that I am a part of. And as part of the mastermind, we have regular away times. So sometimes that might be a day, sometimes it's an overnight, but this one was two nights overnight away in the kind of Gloucester Welsh border. And it was an opportunity to really stretch my thinking, an incredible period of time with some of the most lovely women that I have the pleasure of working alongside, and a really nice opportunity to put down my tools and spend a bit of time thinking about my business and how I want to improve it, how I want to help people more effectively, how I want to grow it, where I want it to be next year in 5 years' time, what are the goals? And so this was a really, really lovely few days. And I came back and said to my husband yesterday, it's actually my favourite kind of going away. And that sounds really, really boring. I love my girls' trips. I love my weekends away. Obviously, I love my holidays. They come first. But if I have to take a couple of nights away from the family with all that that entails, you know, all of the disruption, all of the, you know, the emotions around that, if I have to do that, then I want it to be something that really fills my cup. And of course, time away with my girlfriends and with my husband all does that. But I love going away and working on my business. Ultimately, I am just a complete business geek. I love it. I read about it. I listen to podcasts on it. I love deep diving into this stuff. And the great thing about being part of a group, part of a retreat for me, but also the great thing about having that as an offer for my members is that it really is an opportunity to see under the hood of other people's businesses in a way that you just don't ever quite get to in any other resource, in a podcast, in a, you know, a book. This is real, like, questions, you know, and why do you do that? And how do you do that? And do you mind me asking this? And you know, tell me if it's too much of a stretch, but what about this question? You know, you really get that back and forth with people. So you really can kind of delve into what they're doing and what's working for them and see how you can apply that to your business. And I love that because there is a real feel in amongst the group of that kind of sharing. You know, this is what's working. This is what I'm enjoying. This is what I'm finding. This is my experiences. This is what's happening in the industry. And it's a really great opportunity to share that stuff and get a kind of deep dive and look under the bonnet. And so that is why it has been so powerful and why I've just enjoyed it so much. And so I wanted to bring you today, I've been thinking about it whilst I've been away because my plan was to really document this on stories, but I am so immersed when I'm there. I just don't want to. I didn't want to pick up my phone really. I barely looked at my phone. I didn't post while I was away. I genuinely barely picked it up. My Instagram, you know, whoever runs Instagram must be wondering what's happened to me because my scrolling time has dropped by about 95%. But I really wanted to kind of immerse myself in it and cut out the rest of the noise. And so I did that. And so whilst I did that, I've been really thinking about what I can bring you from it. What would be the most benefit for you? from my experience there so that I can really share as much as possible with you. And so I've come up with three key takeaways. There are going to be loads more, and it may be that this episode kind of diverts onto those, but I've just basically got three key takeaways that really landed for me and lessons that apply no matter what stage you're at in your business. So let's go through those now. And as always with this podcast, I had an incredible message from someone last week who I've kind of known online but never really had any contact with, saying how impactful this podcast has been for her on just shifting her mindset and shifting how she's doing things. And so I'd love to hear your takeaways. If any of this resonates with you, just drop me a message on DM. It's so nice to hear from you and to know who you are and see you out there and to be able to champion you and follow you. So please do reach out with a direct message on Instagram and just tell me what resonates. Okay, so let's get cracking. Takeaway number one, and this is the vast majority of the people in the room are six-figure business owners. Some are multiple six-figure business owners. And so it's really interesting to see that some of the same issues apply no matter what stage you're at. The first one being that even six-figure business owners have lulls, they have revenue gaps, and they have disasters. They have things that do not work. And so I thought this was really a really interesting point. And the reason why I raise it is because I want you to see what happens at these moments when we have the revenue gaps, when we have dry months, when we have, you know, sticky patches in our business. And I want you to see what happens when that happens. So you would assume that once you hit six figures, everything runs like clockwork. You know, the money just rolls in. But every single person in that room had gaps. They had revenue gaps. Now, that gap might mean a dip in revenue between a launch. It might mean an offer that's underperforming. It might be that they've had a launch that has failed or not performed as well as they expected it to, and they've had to rethink. It might be that the points that they have in their funnel that are meant to convert have stopped converting, so they're not getting sales where they typically do. And so these revenue gaps happen at every stage. The difference, I think, between someone who is earlier on in their business and someone who's at this point is that the successful people in that room identify the gaps early and they plug them intentionally. So they might see if a launch isn't going quite so well, they know whether it's going well or not because they have benchmarks and they have points in their systems that identify when something isn't working as well as they hoped it would. You know, so maybe they've run the same launch three times before. Maybe they've launched the same product three times before. And they know then what constitutes a good launch and a bad launch. They have expectations for a launch. They know what they need it to do. And so if it doesn't do that, they recognize it early and they pivot. They don't sit and wallow. They recognize, really importantly, if you hear nothing else from this podcast, come back to me here. Come back to me now. What they recognize is that this is not about them. It is about the funnel, the tech, the audience, the messaging, the pricing. It is not linked or based in any way to how good they are, how successful they are, how well liked they are, how popular they are, how good they are at doing what they do. None of that is relevant in this conversation. Six-figure business owners recognize the gaps and they plug them intentionally. They do not wallow. They do not sit and throw it all out or think nobody likes me. This is never going to work. Who am I to think I could ever do this? They don't do that. They move. They move. They fail fast and they fail forwards. They move quickly. So to give you an example of how this looks, they might think, right, okay, I know that December's going to be a slow month. What can I do? I know that I need a certain amount of money for my VAT bill in January. So what am I going to do to get that together in December? So they might plan quick cash injection campaigns. You know, they might be looking ahead at the diary and thinking, okay, it's Black Friday coming up. What can I do? How can I capitalize on Small Business Saturday? What am I doing for Valentine's Day? How can I plug these gaps and make them intentional? They might bundle things together. They might think, right, okay, so I need X amount of income for December. I have this offer, which isn't going to get me there. So how can I bundle things up? Or how can I upsell? How can I upsell to my existing audience or to my warm leads? How can I create something that isn't reinventing the wheel, but maybe is adding something, adding a new element or a different element or an exciting element that isn't the norm, as a way of kind of re-energizing that offer? They might think, right, I know I need this amount of money, but I don't have capacity this year. So it's, right, what can I sell now and deliver on in January? How can I get that money in now? And I know lots of you are creating digital products and you're thinking towards January launches. And that's great. January is a great time to launch. It is a boom in the fitness world, in the wellness world. That's not to say it's not competitive, because it is, but there is a general feeling, there's a movement in the direction of wellness. So we need to jump on that. But that doesn't mean that you can't sell in December. That doesn't mean you can't be saying, right, what can I sell now and deliver in January? Who can I get into my work? Who is teetering that would just love a really good offer now that means that they can have that in their pocket ready for January? So thinking about your audience, what offers you have, how you can reactivate people that are warm, how you can upsell to people that are already buying from you. You know, one of the analogies that people in the room or someone in the room used, which I thought was just brilliant, was the idea of working and making offers to your current clients. So people are already working with you because they already love you, trust you, know you, like you, all of those things. But this was the great analogy. This lady in the room said, imagine if you had Taylor Swift and she released an album and then she said, that's it, that's all you're getting from me. I can't possibly sell you anything else because surely you have all the music. You have everything you need. What about all of the concerts, the tour dates, the merchandise, all of the extra stuff that she does off the back of it? Now, as her existing audience, people who have bought her music, we're not annoyed by that. We don't sit around thinking, all right, you know, you're trying to capitalize on me. No, no, no. We're thinking, thank you. Yeah, I love the music. So now I want more. I want more from you. I want to come and celebrate. I want to come and do that concert. I want to kind of talk about this and share it. And so what we often disregard is the people in our world already who would love more. Don't disregard your current clients, because I can promise you the six-figure business owners are not. And so I think the big reflective point here is that I would love you to go away and think, right, if I needed another £1,000 this month, is Christmas coming for you? Most likely Christmas is coming hard and fast down the track towards you. And you're thinking, how the hell am I going to buy the North Face coats and the Air Force trainers and the Nike Air Jordans and all of these expensive gifts that our children want, the tablets, the, you know, the iPads, the new phones? How are we going to fund this? Well, if you needed an extra £1,000 this month without creating something new, where would you get it from? How could you upsell? How could you bundle? What quick injections could you create? How could you reactivate warm audience leads? What would you do? And one thing that there's a guy in the business space called Nigel Botterill, and one thing he always talks about is this kind of gun to your head analogy. Like, someone comes, they kidnap your children, they want £1,000. Where do you get the £1,000 from? If you absolutely had to make it happen, where do you get it from? You are in business for yourself. It is up to you how much or how little money you make. How are you going to find it? And this is what these business owners are doing. They are plugging revenue gaps intentionally. So that is my first takeaway. Second takeaway is mindset issues appear at every single level. Now, I love the phrase new level, new devil, because it explains the mindset blocks that do not disappear. They just evolve. They just change. They're not different. They're just tweaked. They're just like a shift. So an example An example from the retreat was where a coach was talking about her earnings and doing really well, earning multiple six figures, but was still really wrestling with the idea of comparison and imposter syndrome and that kind of fear of visibility. The next stage for her would be to move into a more of a visible space, more speaking, more PR, but still struggling with that, even though she's earning a high amount of money. So it's no longer that comparison and imposter syndrome is no longer about selling her products. It's now about turning up and making herself the go-to expert. So it's the same issue, but it's just at a different level. And so imagine if you are doubting yourself at 2K months, you're probably still going to doubt yourself at 20K months. The work is the same, it just shifts. So I want you to really think about your mindset and what things you are doing that are holding you back in your business. What belief is running your decisions now? What belief is holding you back and stopping you from making moves, stopping you from making sales, stopping you from putting yourself out there in the industry, in the market? What is holding you back? If you had to put your finger on something, what is holding you back? Or the other thing you might like to think about is who is holding you back. For a lot of my clients, there is a person, somebody in their world, in their current world or in their past, that holds them back. I've spoken about this many times before, how when I very first started doing more in the online space for my wellness business, I always had a person in my head. I'm not going to name who they are, but this particular person I did a lot of work with in the early stages of my career, and they trained me. And I worked with them quite closely, and they were highly critical. And it all came absolutely from a place of love. It really, really did. I really, truly believe that, because they're one of the most empathetic people I've ever met. But their delivery was criticism. Critical all the time. Questions, questions, questions. Always giving the criticism and never countering it with the compliments. And so I often found myself second guessing, thinking, what would that person say if I put that post out? And every time I had an inkling of, oh God, I don't know if this is right, I just wouldn't do it, because I would think, right, they're going to be watching and listening. And what I can tell you for absolute certainty is that they weren't watching and listening, and they did not care. They didn't care what I was putting out, but that was the person in my head. That was the person that was holding me back. The other thing for you, for your mindset, might be, where are you underplaying because you think you're not ready? What are you doing that's holding you back from being ready? Is it another qualification? Are you thinking, I can't possibly do this without this next qualification? Are you thinking, I can't possibly sell my program because my website doesn't reflect my new messaging? I need to upgrade it first. I need to rewrite my About Me page because no one is going to buy if they don't have a clear about me. All of these things are important, don't get me wrong. And over time, we want to make sure that everything aligns. But they are not the things that are the most important. Remember those revenue gaps that you want to fill? You do not fill them by updating your About Me page. You will not fill them if you hold back, if you play yourself down, if you faff around. Just make the offer. Put yourself out there and make the offer. Because what I can tell you for sure about mindset, and I am not a mindset expert, if you want that, go back a couple of episodes and listen to Beck Hayden's podcast. I am not an expert. What I can tell you for sure from experience is that these mindset blocks are a strategy that your brain has for keeping you still. So whenever we're doing something new, something that's a bit stretchy, things will come up. You know, you will really feel it in your body. You might get ill. You might get a tax bill. You will get things that come in that make you go, oh God, what am I doing? I need to pull back, pull back, pull back. It might be that you know, people keep saying no to you. And these are the blocks. You need to push through these mindset blocks. Things will happen that will prove to you that what you're doing is wrong, that you absolutely shouldn't be doing this. You know, you might get no sales. That is the sticky part that we need to push through. Because once we push through it, getting no sales will never be scary again. Getting a tax bill will never be scary again. But you have to push through to get to the other side. So when these things come in and they show up and they make you feel like you can't do it, you shouldn't do it, someone's watching you, people are criticizing you, you're getting haters on Instagram or trolls. All of these things are blocks that you need to push through. You got to keep going. Because if you let your mindset believe that these things are sent to put to keep you in your box, if you let yourself believe that you shouldn't be doing more or you can't do more, you never will. I think Beck described it in her episode a couple of episodes ago, which is about this idea that your brain is stretchy, like it's plastic. It has the ability to reform. And these beliefs are sent to test us, to challenge us. But the more we can push through those limiting beliefs and prove that they are wrong, the more ease we have, the less they come. So the mindset issues are, you know, make the sale. Go out. If you're faffing around thinking no one wants it, let's go out and make the sale, or at least try. Push your mindset. Push those boundaries as much as you possibly can. Your mindset is going to be part of your scaling steps. Pushing through that and recognizing when things are true and when they are made up in your head is going to be really, really important. So getting a 10 grand tax bill, which happened to me a few years ago, when I really didn't expect it and really couldn't afford it, getting that tax bill could have pushed me back, but it didn't. It spurred me on to a point where now I have conversations with people regularly where I quite weirdly quite enjoy paying my tax because I have it. And it's much easier to pay it when you have it. I feel like it's a bit of a privilege. I get the bill and I think, yeah, good, I've got it. There you go, take it. And it's a really nice place to be because there was a point where that would really have held me back and it would have thrown me back to stage one. But the belief now is that I can hold it. I can afford it. I have it. It's not a fear anymore. So have a think about what your fears are. What's holding you back? What are your mindset blocks? Okay, so moving on to takeaway three, and this is a little bit more of a practical one, is your pricing. I want to start with a really brilliant story, which one of the fabulous members of the retreat told me on day one, and it stuck with me and I referred back to it all the way through. So this is a story of a coach who had developed an incredible lead magnet. So if you're new to online business, a lead magnet or a freebie is something that you create that is free and you give it to people in exchange for their email address. It's a way of helping you to build up your audience and build your leads so that you have people to sell to. So this was an incredible lead magnet that people loved, that everybody wanted, that everyone was talking about. It was really, really brilliant. But what people knew was that there was something coming after the lead magnet. There was going to be an offer. There was going to be a transformation. Something was coming. This coach was going to create something brilliant. So people were talking about it. People were talking about, oh my God, what's she going to do? What's she bringing? And she was hinting at it. You know, I talk all the time about the hype period, you know, telling people there's something coming, but not telling them what it is. Speaking to that kind of outcome, the possible transformation, but not sharing exactly what it is too soon. And that's what this person was doing. I've got something coming. Stay tuned. This is coming for you. This will help you to experience X, Y, Z. And then they released the product. And the product was a £99 product. And what happened was it created a low feeling. When the audience was ready for depth and transformation and big results, the £99 product felt disappointing. It felt low value. And so this is where pricing needs to be really intentional. And it can be very, very tricky. Because I think what we often go to is the idea that we're going to overprice something, that we might freak people out by charging too much. But actually, charging too little can be as detrimental. It can have as much of a detriment on your sales as overcharging. Because actually what happened with this was that people didn't buy it at £99 because they didn't believe they would get the transformation. And it was so cheap that they didn't think they would use it. One of the other ladies on the retreat had created a freebie. And we were talking about it. And I said, the thing is, I know I wouldn't download that because I know I wouldn't use it. So it's really important that what you create not only has the promise but also does it in the right way. And there is some value in pricing things effectively so that people believe that they will take the action necessary. For a £99 product, which would be expensive for some people, but wasn't expensive for this audience, and the value that they believed that they would get from it, it cheapened it. It meant that they realized, if I download that £99 product or join up or become a member of that £99 product, I won't use it because it doesn't hold me to account enough. The £99 is not enough of an investment for me to really get the results and for me to really believe that that teacher, that coach, is going to deliver on her promise. £99 didn't feel in line with the value she was promising. So the big lesson I am realizing, not just from the retreat, but I'm realizing it in the market generally at the moment, is that people don't want a tweak. People want a transformation. And that is becoming more and more common in this current, in the current date that we're living in. And I think part of the reason for that is the rise of AI. You know, we can get as much information as we want from AI, but we cannot get implementation. We cannot get transformation. We have to do the work. We need the support. And that comes from human connection. That comes from you guys. So people want that from you, but we aren't delivering it. So that £99 product did not deliver on the promised transformation. It might have done. It might have been incredible value and people didn't realize it. But they didn't value it. And that's what's important, because they knew that they wouldn't do it. So the coach could turn up with all the will in the world, you know, all of the resources, all of the help, all of the support. But if their people aren't buying into it, you're going to get terrible results. So your pricing is really, really key. Your pricing communicates way more than affordability. I hear this all the time with my members. My audience can't afford it. I've said it before. I don't think my audience can afford that. But what your pricing actually does is positions you. It positions you as the expert. It positions your promise as something that people can have confidence in. If you underprice, you undervalue that promise. So making your pricing accessible is really confusing for your audience. Can you see how that confuses people? That it feels accessible, but it also doesn't feel like it's going to be transformative. So if your price doesn't match the stretch of what your clients are going to receive, it probably won't make your clients stretch to it either. You know, we often, you know, we don't want to overprice things for people or overcharge or put people in difficult situations that they can't afford. Never, never, never. But we do need things to be stretchy for people because it encourages action. So the action from this is to go and audit your prices. Do they really reflect the outcome? And I'm not talking about your local in-person mat class prices. That's entirely different. That's based on demographics. It's based on locality. It's based on competition locally. I'm talking about your online prices. Do they reflect the outcome you deliver? Or are you building your product based on the inclusions and the hours? It's old thinking, and we need to be thinking about transformations. So to wrap up today's episode, let's just quickly recap the three takeaways. So firstly is that everyone has revenue gaps. Successful people will fix them, and they will fix them fast. Mindset work never ends. Every level is going to require you to expand. New level, new devil. So every single level is going to require mindset expansion to be able to hold it and to feel safe in it. And finally, pricing is the communication of your transformation. And you need to remember that. You need to remember that people want to feel stretched. It's valuable to add some stretch because it's going to help them to get the outcome. So it's actually, in some ways, kinder to stretch people than it is to allow people to sit into their comfort zone when it comes to pricing. So I'd love, again, as always, for you to share how you're going to apply this. And if this got you thinking, I have a workshop on Wednesday. In fact, I have one every month, but the next one is on Wednesday the 12th, I believe is the date of November. So if you're listening to this afterwards, sorry guys, there is another one in December, so I'll see you at that one. But otherwise, I'm going to put the link below. If you'd like to come on Wednesday, I'd love to see you there. And like I say, if you're coming after Wednesday, go to the same link because the next date will be advertised. Okay, it's been great to spend a little bit of time with you. I really hope this has been useful. The workshop is going to just go into more of this. It's going to be talking about how to create wellness programs that scale, so that can grow, that can reach those six figures, that can, you know, support your clients with an incredible transformation. Take care, guys, and keep doing what you're doing, and let me know if you have any questions. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.